This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Verily, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we seek His help. And we seek His aid and we seek His refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and the consequences of our actions. Indeed, whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can misguide. And whomever Allah chooses to misguide, no one can guide him back to the straight path. I bear witness and I testify that there is no deity worthy of our worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final worshipper and the final messenger and the most perfect human being who has ever walked on the face of this earth. As to what follows, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encouraged us and commanded us to be conscious of Him, to have taqwa of Him. Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah, be conscious of Allah, and do not die except as a state of submitting yourself to Him. Dear brothers and sisters, as we all know, the month of Ramadan is a few days away. And this month has been called by many of our historians, by many of our chroniclers, the month of victory and the month of struggle. And that is because it is truly amazing to look back in our history and to realize that pretty much every single, or I should say most of, the major conquests that have taken place in our ummah, the greatest conquests that have ever taken place in our ummah, they occur predominantly, primarily in the month of Ramadan. In other words, statistically speaking, one would think that one out of every 12 conquests should take place in Ramadan, because Ramadan is one month of the year. But when you look at Islamic history, you find that the greatest battles and the most decisive victories that the ummah needed, sometimes at the most crucial points of its history, they all occurred in this month of Ramadan. And this is not a coincidence, brothers and sisters, because this is the month of victory. This is the month of Allah's blessings. This is the month when Jannah's doors are open, Jahannam's doors are closed. This is the month when the angels are sent out and the shayateen are chained up. This is the month where individual Muslims conquer their own problems, their own sins. So why shouldn't the ummah collectively conquer its own problems and have its own victories in this month? And this is what we see collectively throughout our Islamic century. And the fact of the matter, when I sat down to write this khutbah, I thought there will be 5 or 6 I can mention. But wallahi, the conquest continued to be more and more and more. And I realized that I'll have to choose out of more than a dozen conquests, more than a dozen decisive battles that took place in this month of Ramadan, I will have to choose because of time constraints. So in today's khutbah, I will mention 6 of the most important and the most decisive battles that took place in this month, so that inshallah ta'ala, we can take benefit, we can gain some advantage, we can be optimistic that just like the ummah gained its victory throughout all of these battles in this holy month, so too inshallah ta'ala, we can be victorious in our own personal battles. We can be victorious against our own internal enemies, just like the ummah was victorious over its external memories. So 6 battles, decisive battles, all of them took place in Ramadan. And by the way, not a coincidence, most of them took place in the final days of Ramadan. Wallahi, it is truly mind-boggling when you look at it. Most of these battles, they took place in the final nights and the final days of Ramadan, which are the holiest time of the year. And once again, it is no coincidence at all. These are the blessed days of the year. These are the days when Allah's blessings come down on this earth. These are the days or the nights of those last 10 nights when the angels fill up the entire world. And it is the nights upon Laylatul Qadr occurs. So why is it strange? Why is it something that is bizarre that in those 10 nights, the greatest victories the ummah has ever seen will take place? The first of these 6 is the first decisive battle of Islam. And it is a battle that all of us are familiar with. And it is the battle of Badr, which took place the very first Ramadan after the Hijrah. the very first month of Ramadan after the Hijrah. And this is the second Ramadan, the second Hijrah, 2 AH. On the 17th of Ramadan, in the second year of the Hijrah, we all know the story that a small group of Muslims, barely 300 in number, were expecting a caravan to pass by. So they were not prepared. They weren't wearing armor. This was a raid on a caravan. It was not an army expedition. And raids and expeditions are two different things. And the Muslims were prepared to come in, take the caravan of Abu Sufyan, and then bring it back to Medina. And caravans are not guarded. Caravans do not have armies. Caravans do not have horses. Caravans do not have armors and weaponry. We all know the story. Abu Sufyan heard what happened. He changed his route. He sent for an army from Mecca. So 1,000 soldiers from the Quraysh marched forward. 1,000 armed men with hundreds of camels, hundreds of horses, with military equipment, hundreds of suits of armor. And the Muslims were now wondering what to do. Should we proceed? Should we go back? And the Prophet ﷺ gave that passionate speech that we all know. And the Sahaba were all riled up. And Sa'd ibn Mu'ad said, Ya Rasulullah, go forth, for by Allah, even if you take us into the ocean, we will go behind you. And this battle of Badr, the decisive victory that Allah calls Yawm al-Furqan, the day that truth won over falsehood, it took place on the 17th of Ramadan. On this day, the icons of kufr, one after the other, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, Walid ibn Utbah, Abu Jahl passed away right after this as well, Abu Lahab passed away in Mecca, all of these, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, every single major icon of kufr was either killed or died right after the Battle of Badr. And the Muslims barely had a scrape. Barely two or three people died. And the Quraysh had 73 prisoners of war taken to Medina. This day of Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the believers that on this day, Allah had promised you, you would be victorious over one of the two groups, either the caravan or the army. And you wanted the caravan because that was easier for you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had wanted something greater than that. لِيُحِقَّ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ So that the truth can be manifest over falsehood. This day of Ramadan, 17th of Ramadan, was the first victory for the Muslims. And not coincidentally, it occurred smack in the middle of the month. And the lesson we learn from that victory for us this Ramadan, the lesson we learn is that, you know what, we might not be fully prepared. We might not be fully prepared for that month. How many of us now are trepidating, wondering, how am I going to fast? But just like the Muslims were not prepared for Badr, but when Badr came, they stood up for the challenge. When Badr occurred, they put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that victory. Even if we feel unprepared for Ramadan, and many of us are spiritually and perhaps even physically unprepared right now, even if we feel unprepared, put our trust in Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal will cause us to be victorious in this month. The second of the six battles we will mention is the conquest of Mecca, which is the final major battle in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. The beginning and the end, they both took place in Ramadan. The conquest of Mecca in the 8th year of the Hijrah, when our Prophet ﷺ on the 23rd of Ramadan, the very beginning of the last 10 nights, the odd day, the odd night on the 23rd of Ramadan, our Prophet ﷺ marched into Mecca at the head of an army of 10,000. And the conquest of Mecca took place without any bloodshed. And the conquest of Mecca signaled the eventual conquest of the entire Arabian Peninsula. The conquest of Mecca took place after so many years of struggle, 20 years of torture, 20 years of persecution, the death and the loss of so many loved ones, Khadija, Hamza, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, Zayd, the adopted son of the Prophet, some quote-unquote adopted son. All of these people have had to give their blood. They've lost their lives. So many battles have taken place. But after 20 years of hardship, the victory comes in the final days of Ramadan. And the lesson that we learn, brothers and sisters, is that patience always succeeds in the end. That no matter how long the struggle, no matter how difficult the journey, in the end, righteousness and taqwa pays off. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ The end result will be for those who have taqwa. The third battle that we will mention is the battle of Andalus, the battle of Andalus that took place under the famous commander Tariq ibn Ziyad on the 28th of Ramadan in the year 93 Hijrah, corresponding to July of 711. And a few weeks ago, we gave detailed classes on Andalus, and 2 weeks ago, I myself was also in Andalus, and we visited some of these very sites. Tariq ibn Ziyad was a young general, 19 years old, and he landed on the Jabal Tariq, Gibraltar, with barely a few thousand men. And he laid out the land, and he sent for help from Musa ibn Nusayr. And Musa ibn Nusayr, the governor, sent him a few thousand. At max, he had 12,000 men. And Tariq ibn Ziyad faced the king of Spain, the king of the Visigoths, by the name of King Roderick. King Roderick of the Visigoths of Spain, a tyrannical ruler who had a massive army. Some Muslim books say up to 100,000, non-Muslim books say 40,000, whatever the case, 12,000 from the Muslims, 40 to 100,000 on the other side. And Tariq ibn Ziyad's forces are landing from the ocean, and the forces of the Franks and the Visigoths are on home turf. They're rested. They're the ones with the military equipment. And in a decisive battle, or I should say series of battles, that lasted 8 days from the 20th of Ramadan to the 28th of Ramadan. In 8 days, the Muslim forces continuously bombarded King Roderick's settlements outside of the land of now, that is now Cordoba, Cordova. And eventually, the Muslims won a resounding victory so that they celebrated Eid in that year as the victory over the Visigothic kingdom. And this victory opened the door for the conquest of half of Europe. As we all know, the Muslims reached 100 miles outside of Paris. Literally, in the year 756, the Muslims conquered all the way up. They conquered half of, they conquered all of Spain, other than a small strip in the top. They conquered half of France, and they made their way outside of the gates of Paris. And this is in the year 756. Then they were beaten back, and they had Andalusia, southern Spain, for 750 years until the fall of Granada in 1492. But the decisive battle that opened the way for European Islam, for Islam to flourish in a land of Europeans, where the people were Europeans and the language was Arabic, even though the civilization was European, was the land of Andalus. And its decisive victory took place once again in the final days of the month of Ramadan in the year 93 Hijrah. Barely a year later, we get to our fourth battle. Barely a year later, and those were the good old days. Those were the glory days. One battle being fought here, the other battle being fought there. One conquest after another. In the year 94 Hijrah, another decisive battle takes place in the final days of the month of Ramadan. Once again, the month of Ramadan. But it is on the other side of the world, not on the European side. This is the battle that took place under Muhammad ibn Qasim from the tribe of Thaqif in Ta'if. And it is taking place in the province of Sindh, in the land of India. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf had sent Muhammad ibn Qasim to battle one of the kings that had hijacked Muslim ships, and he had molested the women on the ship, and he had done things to the Muslims. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf sent a small army under the leadership of a relative of his, and that is Muhammad ibn Qasim. And Muhammad ibn Qasim, another young man in his 20s, Muhammad ibn Qasim came with barely a few thousand troops and Indian cavalry and Indian swords and Indian horsemen were feared throughout the medieval world. And in my seerah classes, I mentioned even Indian swords are mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ as being of the best swords of the time. Indian warriors were feared at that time and place. Muhammad ibn Qasim came with barely a few thousand men. And he fought the king, the Raja, he was called Raja Dahir of a land, a province, which is now in modern Sindh. And he faced Raja Dahir. And the Raja had, of course, typical Indian style. He had thousands of troops, hundreds of elephants. And the Muslims had not faced elephants in India. But through tactics, through power of Allah Azza wa Jal, through the Qudra and blessings of Allah, Muhammad ibn Qasim fought a decisive battle in Ramadan of 94 Hijrah. And he destroyed the troops of Raja Dahir, King Dahir. And he killed King Dahir. And this opened up and paved the way for the establishment of a small principality of Muslims in what is currently Sindh, outside of Karachi, to the current the modern country of Pakistan. A small if you like, sultanate began from the Muslims, from the time of the Sahaba. And this was the land of Multan, and the land of Makran, and the land of Sindh. And there was a dynasty, where I talked about this in my previous classes, the Habbadid dynasty, that flourished there, Muslim kings, that flourished in Muslim, if you like, India, for hundreds of years, until other Islamic civilizations came, Mahmud al-Ghaznavi and others. But this Islamic civilization began in the time of the Sahaba. And what opened the doors was the decisive battle that took place in Ramadan of the year 94 Hijrah. And that place where the Muslims established their land, where the Muslims established a sultanate, that place has remained a Muslim land up until modernity. And the modern nation state of Pakistan, of course, it includes this territory that goes back to that very time. And Pakistanis pride themselves, and inshallah this is a halal pride, that Pakistan is the only nation state in modernity that was founded with the name of Islam and for the explicit purpose of protecting Muslims. And we can take pride in the fact that during the time of the Sahaba, Muhammad ibn Qasim opened up a land that is currently sitting inside the domains of Pakistan. It is literally 100 miles outside of Karachi. And the remnants of the cities that were established, the remnants of Multan and Makran, which were, by the way, magnificent civilizations, the architecture, they had so many technological advancements that the other Indians were marveling at. The remnants of those civilizations to this day exist. All of this began in the month of Ramadan in 94 Hijrah. The fifth of our six battles to remind us of the blessings of this month is, of course, perhaps the single most important battle that ever took place after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a battle that every Muslim should know, every Muslim should be aware of, especially in light of current political circumstances, and that is the famous battle of Hittin that took place in the year 583 Hijrah, corresponding to September 1187 CE. And of course, the Battle of Hittin is the famous battle where the greatest general after Khalid ibn al-Walid, and that is Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi, reconquered our city of Jerusalem from the invading crusaders after it had been in Frankish hands, in European hands, for over 93 years. And the Battle of Hittin was a final assault that Salah ad-Din Ayyubi had been planning for many, many years. And the Battle of Hittin took place once again in the final days of Ramadan in the year 583 AH. In fact, on the final day of the battle, the soldiers spent most of the night praying Taraweeh and Tahajjud. Most of the night they were praying Taraweeh and Tahajjud, asking Allah for victory, because they realized that without dua, nothing would happen. Without Allah being on their side, there was no point in all of the army and the weapons that they had. And so it was in the final days of Ramadan that Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi won over the Frankish kingdoms, and he entered the city of Jerusalem. And as we all know, when the Christians had entered Jerusalem 90 years ago, they slaughtered every single man, woman, and child. And the streets of Jerusalem were flowing with Muslim blood. We all know when Salah ad-Din entered the city, the Christians were trembling, thinking justly that Salah ad-Din should do as they did unto them. As you do unto others, it shall be done unto you. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. This is the law of humanity. They believed Salah ad-Din would do the same thing to them. And they were trembling and begging for their lives. And the king was on his knees begging for his life. And Salah ad-Din gave that famous response that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us when he conquered Makkah, to forgive and to turn the other cheek. Go, for you are free today. So Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi did not do as the Christians had done when they conquered Jerusalem. And he guaranteed safe passage to every single person. Because, you know, mobs get angry, troops get angry. He had troops stationing to protect the Christians from the angry mobs, Muslim mobs, from the angry troops, that nobody is going to harm them. And he let every single man, woman, and child, the same people that had been fighting the Muslims, even the soldiers, were forgiven. And this act of magnanimity won the hearts of Europe. So to this day, Saladin is a hero, even amongst the non-Muslims, because of this act of generosity. Once again, it took place. When did it take place? In the holy month of Ramadan. Look at all of these conquests. Conquests in the east, conquests in the west, conquests in the heart of Islam. And all of them are taking place in the month of Ramadan. And inshallah, from this we gain that the greatest moments of our life, our own personal victories, should be during this month. That just like the Ummah conquered its external foes, no matter how big they were, no matter how diverse they were, we as Muslims can conquer our internal foes. We can conquer our personal vices and sins, no matter how diverse they are, no matter how great they might seem. And the final conquest that we'll mention, and once again I reiterate the fact of the matter, in my quick research for this khutbah, I found over a dozen significant conquests. And I don't have time to go over all of them, so I chose around half of them for this khutbah. So don't think this is an exhaustive list. The final conquest that we will mention is the Battle of Ain Jalut in the year 658 Hijrah, corresponding to September 1260. And not a coincidence, look at all of these dates. The 25th of Ramadan in the year 658 Hijrah. Look at all of these battles, the last 10 days of Ramadan, when the Ummah is being blessed. What is the Battle of Ain Jalut, and what will make you understand what is the Battle of Ain Jalut? Wallahi, brothers and sisters, the greatest calamity that the Ummah has ever faced after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, political calamity, was the invasion of Genghis Khan, the invasion of the Mongols. This was the greatest political tragedy that has ever happened. And I have said before that it is in fact even worse than what happened in World War I and the Sykes-Picot Agreement and the breaking up of the Ummah. The Mongol invasion was even worse than what happened 100 years ago. In the Mongol invasion, and again, time is limited and the time is almost up already. In the Mongol invasion, Genghis Khan started off from Mongolia. He united his tribes and he started fighting westward. And what is west of Mongolia? Samarkand. So he entered Samarkand himself and he stomped into the masjid and he desecrated the masjid and he told the Muslims, and this is literally recorded in the books of history, that I am your God's punishment on you because you have abandoned your religion. This is Genghis Khan in the Masjid of Samarkand, on the minbar, and he told the Muslims, you didn't act according to your faith. And the story is long because they had cheated him. They had been rude and crude. They had killed one of his emissaries. And this is un-Islamic, and it's not even allowed according to the laws of the land. They had stolen and cheated from Genghis Khan. Otherwise, he would never have invaded. So he invaded them, and he destroyed one of the mightiest civilizations, Samarkand, Bukhara, Tashkent. And he said to them, because you were not faithful to your God, your God has sent me to punish you. And he said this in the masjid of Samarkand. But that was just the beginning. His children and his grandchildren after him, for the next 100 years, they ransacked and ravaged the Muslim land. From Afghanistan, onto Iran, onto Iraq. In 1256, they surrounded Baghdad, the capital of the Abbasid Empire. And after a long siege and a ruse and a tactic that they used, they then conquered Baghdad. And one of the greatest massacres in human history before World War I, World War II, when atomic bombs were invented, one of the greatest massacres of human history is the rape of Baghdad in 1256, when Genghis Khan's grandson, Hulagu Khan, this is his grandson, destroyed the city of Baghdad, the greatest city of humanity at that time. Got rid of over 1 million books, and it is said over 1 million human beings were massacred, one head after another chopped off, until finally, and the Abbasid Khalifa is watching this, until finally the last man to die was the Abbasid Khalifa and his own families. But that wasn't the end of it. That was the beginning of the end as well. They continued marching westward, onto Damascus, onto Syria, onto Palestine, and they made their way all the way to Egypt. Pause here. Think from Mongolia to Egypt. This is the Mongol invasion. And they have ravaged and ransacked the entire Muslim world. Muslim historians at the time literally thought this is Qiyamah. They thought this is Ya'juj and Ma'juj. They thought the sun is going to rise tomorrow from the west. That's it. They could not imagine a future. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed a small dynasty that was hitherto unknown. Nobody had heard of them, called the Mamluks. They were ruling over a small area of Egypt. And Allah blessed the Mamluks to stand up against a group of people whom the Muslims supernaturally, superstitiously believed they weren't even human. Muslims began to believe that the Mongols were not human beings. They're Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Because not a single civilization, the Christians, because they invaded Europe as well, the Muslims, nobody had defeated the Mongols. Yet, the Muslim general stood up. And that famous general, of course, Baybars was one of them, and Qutuz was another. And these were, of course, Mamluks. They were Muslims from a Turkish civilization, but of course they were proud Muslims. They stood up against one of the generals of Hulagu Khan, and they fought him in the plains of Ain Jalut. It is said this is where Goliath himself basically fought against David, and Goliath took place over there. So it's called Ain Jalut, and Allah knows best. So they stood up in that small principality of Ain Jalut, and they, for the first time in the history of the Mongols, inflicted a decisive blow on the Mongol army. And once again, this took place 25th of Ramadan in the year 658 Hijrah. And they never recovered after that. This invasion was such a shock to the Mongols that they stopped their conquest and they seceded back. And in fact, their rulers that they had put in Syria and in other places, amazingly, and this can only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the very descendants of Genghis Khan eventually converted to Islam, and they started the Ilkhanid dynasty, and they started the Mughals of India. All of these, the Mughals are the Mongols from the same bloodline. So the very descendants of Genghis Khan, they tried to conquer Islam. Islam ended up conquering them, and they became rulers for Islam. But the decisive battle that began the turn was the battle of Ain Jalut, once again in the month of Ramadan. The point being, brothers and sisters, these are six decisive battles. Every one of them was a turning point for the Ummah. Every one of them was a major battle that quite literally changed the course of history. And it is not a coincidence that every one of them took place in the month of Ramadan. And therefore, brothers and sisters, as we are about to enter this month, let us ask ourselves, if the Ummah can be so victorious, how about just me and you? Surely we can do so much more. If the Ummah has been blessed to such a level, they can stop the Mongols, they can reconquer Jerusalem, they can unite all of Arabia. If the Ummah can be blessed with so much, then surely me and you, inshallah ta'ala, our goals are so much lower. Our goals are so much more modest. I just want to be a better person. I want to be a better Muslim. I want my sins to be forgiven. Inshallah ta'ala, we too can conquer our personal vices and our personal faults, just like the previous civilizations were blessed so much in this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us life to reach this month and to be forgiven in this month. Barakallahu bi lakum fi al-Quran al-Azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah al-Azim li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimin qad min fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. Alhamdulillah al-wahid al-ahad al-samad alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad wa ba'du. Can I have the brothers please move forward? We are already packed in the back. One final piece of advice and reminder to myself and all of you, and inshallah, of course, the next few weeks in the months of Ramadan, our khutbas will all be about Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala, and motifs pertaining to Ramadan. One final advice, brothers and sisters, is that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us three ways to be forgiven in this month. Whoever fasts Ramadan, believing in Allah and expecting Allah to reward him, shall have all of his sins forgiven. Number one, inshallah, we will all do that. All of us will fast throughout the days. Number two, whoever prays the nights of Ramadan, believing in Allah and expecting Allah to reward him, all of his sins will be forgiven. And number three, whoever prays on the night of Laylatul Qadr, also his sins will be forgiven. I want to remind myself and all of you, let us not trivialize number two. Alhamdulillah, pretty much the Ummah fasts in the month of Ramadan. And I mentioned this statistic before. Gallup poll, which is one of the most prestigious polls in the world, did a survey of religious rites, of religious festivals and activities of all the world's religions. And they asked which is the most practiced aspect of any religion. Hindus, Buddhists, Christians, Muslims. Number one on the list by far, there was no number two in the same ballpark. Number one by far was the fast of Ramadan. I forgot now, is it over 75-80% of the Muslim Ummah fast the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah. That's a beautiful sign, a beautiful thing. We should be happy at it. Let's not make fun of those Muslims that only become religious in Ramadan. The fact that they become religious in Ramadan is a sign of Iman. And we should welcome that, alhamdulillah. But my encouragement to you right now is not just the fast. There's another mechanism. There's plan B. We have plan A. That's fasting. There's a plan B. We should all make sure we try it. And that is to pray the nights of Ramadan. And I encourage myself and all of you, if we're able to pray in the masjid, alhamdulillah, that's great. It's excellent. The spirituality, the ambience, the feeling, the recitation. Inshallah, in MIC, we have a khatir, a religious lecture every single day. And this year, we will concentrate on the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here at our masjid, and of course, we encourage you to go to all the masajid. Our masjid, we advertise it as family-friendly taraweeh. We have a policy, begin at 10 and finish on weekdays at 11:15. We understand the night is late, we don't want everybody to stay too late, so we have family friendly. Children have their babysitting, by 11:15 on weekdays, we inshallah promise you as much as we can, we will be done, so that we can have an early night. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever prays with the imam until the imam finishes, Allah will bless him as if he prayed the whole night. So we will pray an hour and a half. And inshallah, we hope that Allah rewards us for the whole night. But if you are not able to come to the masjid, then still pray at home. And that is completely fine. And you will get the reward. And you will get the ajr of having prayed every single night. So if you're not able to pray at the masjid, then pray at home. And you may hold the Quran in this, because it's nafil salah. Taraweeh is nafil salah. It's not wajib. You cannot hold the Quran in a fard salah. But in the taraweeh prayer, you can hold a copy of the Quran. And you may read from the Quran if you want. And these days you have the iPhone and the iTablets and whatnot. You can use that as well. Or if you want, just recite the short surahs. But the point is, pray those 8 raka'at and then the 3 witr as the minimum. Do this every single night for the entire month. Make this my goal, that along with fasting, I will pray every single night. Why? Because you want to obtain the blessings that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that whoever stands the night in prayer every single night, then all of his deeds will be forgiven. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause our fastings to be blessed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitate these difficult days of fasting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide us the nourishment and allow us to conquer our thirst in these summer months. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the sabr to overcome the difficulties of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to accept our fasts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow all of us to stand the nights of Ramadan in qiyam and in tahajjud and in taraweeh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow all of us to finish at least one recitation of the Quran cover to cover. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our good deeds in this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us to be charitable, to be extra charitable in this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanse our hearts, forgive our sins, exalt our ranks, and save us from the fire of hell in this blessed month. Ibadallah, إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين عباد الله إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة